Welcome to Torah Yimechanach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we'll be learning Malachim Bet, Perek Yotet, Chapter 19. In the last Perek, in Perek Yotet, Chapter 18, we learned at the beginning of the righteous Chizkiyahu's kingdom, during which he reversed all of his father Achaz's religious and political policies, ridding the kingdom of both its Avodah Zarah and its alliance with Ashur. This led to Ashur's attacking and conquering virtually all of the walled cities of Malchut Yehuda, with his emperor Sancheriv next setting his sights on Yerushalayim. To this end, Sancheriv sent his representative Rav Shakeh to convince the people of Yerushalayim to surrender to Sancheriv so that he would have an easier time conquering the capital city. In Psukim Aleph through Hey, verses 1 through 5, we're told that upon hearing about Rav Shakeh's speech from his officers, Chizkiyahu actually responded in three different ways. First, he tore his clothing and donned sackcloth, both of which are signs of mourning. Next, he went to the Beit HaMikdash, presumably to daven to Hashem. And finally, he sent messengers to consult with Yeshayahu, the Navi, the prophet of the time period. Vayomru Elav, and they said to him, meaning Chizkiyahu's messenger said to Yeshayahu, Ko amar Chizkiyahu, so said Chizkiyahu, Yom tzara v'tochecha una'atza hayom hazeh. A day of pain, rebuke, and contempt is this day. Ki va'u vanim ad mashber, because the children have come to the opening of the womb. V'choach ein lileida, and there's no strength to deliver. Chizkiyahu here compared B'nai Yisrael's present predicament to that of a laboring woman whose baby is ready to come out, but who doesn't have the strength to push out the baby. And Radak explains that this point in childbirth is the most painful for the woman. And if she doesn't have the strength to push, she would be left in agony without any hope of relief from her pain. And so Chizkiyahu's message here was that B'nai Yisrael were in the midst of a great crisis, but didn't have the strength on their own to escape it, unless Hashem would come and save them. In Psukim Vav through Zion, verses 6 through 7, Hashem responded to Chizkiyahu through Yeshayahu by telling him not to worry, since Rav Shakeh would soon be forced to return home to Ashur after hearing a rumor that Hashem would fabricate, and he would be killed by the sword there. And in Psukim Chet through Gimel, verses 8 through 13, that did actually happen, but he still sent a letter to Chizkiyahu threatening that Sancheriv would come back to attack, reminding him that no other nation had been victorious in the face of the Assyrian onslaught until now, so why would he think that Malchut Yehuda would fare any differently? In Psukim Yudalet through Yotet, verses 14 through 19, Chizkiyahu took Rav Shakeh's letter to the Beit HaMikdash, spread it out there before Hashem, and davened to Hashem again. He described Hashem as the only God of every kingdom on earth and as the God who created the entire world. And then he acknowledged that the kings of Ashur had defeated every other nation that they had attacked and burned their idols in fire, since they weren't real gods, but rather were man-made pieces of wood and stone. And Chizkiyahu then beseeched Hashem, V'ata Hashem Elokeinu, and now Hashem our God, Hoshienu na miyado, save us from his hand. V'yad'u kol mamlechot ha'aretz, and all the kingdoms of the earth will know, ki ata Hashem Elokim levadecha, that you alone are Hashem God. In other words, Chizkiyahu is beseeching Hashem, I know that everyone else was defeated, but that's because they didn't have real gods. You are the real God. Can you please save us? Because you're the only one who can. In Psukim Chaf through Lamed Daled, verses 20 through 34, Hashem responded through Yeshayahu again that Hashem had heard Chizkiyahu's tefillah, his prayers, and that he, Hashem, will defeat Sancheriv because Sancheriv had taunted Hashem and because of Sancheriv's arrogance. Yeshayahu concluded by quoting Hashem directly, Lachin ko amar Hashem el melech Ashur. Therefore, so said Hashem regarding the king of Ashur. Lo yavo el ha'ir hazot velo yorah. He will not come to the city, and he will not shoot an arrow there. Baderech asher yavo ba yashuv. The same way that he will come, he will return. Ve'el ha'ir hazot lo yavo ne'um Hashem. And to this city he will not come, says Hashem. Ve'ganoti el ha'ir hazot lohoshia. And I will protect this city to save it. L'ma'ani u'lema'an David avdi. For my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. In the last three psukim of the parak, psukim lamed hei through lamed zayin, verses 35 through 37, we are told of how Hashem defeated the Assyrian army. Vayihi balayla hahu, and it was on that night, vayitzei malach Hashem vayach ban machane Ashur, 185,000. And the angel of God went out and smote 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. Vayashkimu baboker vihinei hulam pikarim mitim. And they woke up early the next morning, and behold, they were all dead corpses. Without an army to support him, Sancheriv was forced to retreat. He returned home to Nineveh, which was the capital of Ashur, and one day, he was worshiping one of his gods in his temple when two of his own sons killed him by the sword. Those two sons then escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son named Esarhaddon succeeded him as emperor of Ashur. Wow, Yerushalayim has just been saved against all odds. Even though Ashur had been able to conquer the entire ancient Near East, subsuming all of its conquered countries within its vast new empire, and even though even Malchut Yisrael and the rest of the walled cities in Malchut Yehuda were just conquered by the Assyrians as well, Yerushalayim alone withstood the Assyrian onslaught. Sanherib himself actually described his campaign against Yerushalayim in what has become known as the Sanherib Prison, a six-sided hexagonal clay royal foundation record inscribed in ancient Akkadian, which was the language spoken by Sanherib, using cuneiform script. Now, according to one of the signs below the prism at the Oriental Institute here in Chicago, which I had the opportunity to visit with my high school students on a school trip several years ago, it says, quote, "This six-sided clay prism was written on behalf of Sanherib, king of Assyria, 704 to 68 BC. It contains the narratives of eight of Sanherib's military campaigns. He recounts in detail the manner in which he defeated most of the major Near Eastern powers, including large coalitions of Babylonians, Chaldeans, and Elamites. During his third campaign, Sanherib traveled to the west and attacked the Israelite king Hezekiah and laid siege to Jerusalem." An accompanying label at the Oriental Institute translates the portion of the prism's text that describes Sanherib's attack on Malchut Yehuda. Quote, "As for Hezekiah the Judean," this is Chizkiyahu, "who did not submit to my yoke, 46 of his strong fortified cities, as well as the small cities in their vicinity, which were without number, I besieged and conquered. Himself, like a caged bird, I shut in Jerusalem, his royal city. The terrifying splendor of my majesty overcame him, and he sent rich tribute to me in Nineveh." It seems that Sanherib was so embarrassed by his rare defeat in Yerushalayim that he completely omitted it on the prism, having chosen instead to emphasize his victories over the other 46 cities of Malchut Yehuda and the siege of Yerushalayim that he initiated. And I always found it interesting and even quite telling that despite the claim on the sign of the Oriental Institute that, quote, "on this prism Sanherib boasts of complete victory over Hezekiah," the translation they provide actually ends after his boasting of having trapped Chizkiyahu inside Yerushalayim, quote, "like a caged bird," and his description of Chizkiyahu having paid him tribute without any mention of having conquered the city at all. Whereas his conquest was explicitly mentioned with regard to the other 46 walled cities of Malchut Yehuda, which he, quote, "besieged and conquered." And this always seemed to me to be an extra biblical proof for the veracity of the biblical account we have just learned in our Perek in Sefer Malachim, describing the retreat of Sanherib from Yerushalayim without having conquered the city at all. And then, in a shiur that Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon gave here in Chicago last year, I think, I was really excited when he quoted Professor Chaim Tadmor, who is an Israeli Assyriologist, which means that he was a scholar of the ancient Near East. Professor Tadmor lived from 1923 to 2005. And Professor Tadmor found in his research that all of Sanherib's royal inscriptions of the battles he waged and won contain the same four elements. One, "I have conquered X country," usually including the name of its capital city. Two, "I have wounded and or killed its king." Three, "I have appointed in the king's place X as my vassal." And four, "I have fined them heavy taxes." And Professor Tadmor noted that of Sanherib's many royal inscriptions regarding his battles, the only exception to this rule is his description of his battle against Yerushalayim, in which there is no mention of his conquering of the city, there is no mention of his wounding or killing Chizkiyahu, and there's no mention of his appointing a vassal in Chizkiyahu's stead, because none of that happened. Rather, the only thing he does mention is capturing the other 46 cities of Malchut Yehuda. And as Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon explained, this is a clear, if implicit, admission of defeat on the part of Sanherib. Interestingly, Lord Byron, a famous British poet of the 18th and 19th centuries, actually wrote a poem about the miraculous defeat of Sanherib by Hashem, based on the biblical account in Sefer Malachim, called The Destruction of Sanherib. I will quote it now. "The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold. And the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. And there lay the steed with his nostril all wide, but through it were rolled not the breath of his pride. And the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf and cold as the spray of the rock-beating surf. And there lay the rider distorted and pale with the dew on his brow and the rust on his mail. And the tents were all silent, the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpet unblown. And the widows of Ashur are loud in their wail, and the idols are broke in the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord. What a beautiful rendition of the biblical account of this incredible miracle. There's much to unpack here, but that lies outside the scope of this year. Please feel free to look up the poem online in order to analyze it further. In conclusion, as unbelievable as Hashem's sudden and swift killing of the Assyrian army just outside the walls of Jerusalem was, unfortunately and ironically, as a result of this miraculous salvation, the people of Malchut Yehuda were led to believe that Jerusalem can never be destroyed, to the point that several generations later, they refused to believe Yirmiyahu when he warned of its impending destruction, because they thought it would be constantly under divine protection, just like it was during this time of Chizkiyahu. And this is something that we should really keep in mind, as the prakim we learn in Sefer Malachim bet take us closer and closer to the time of the Chorban, to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. In the meantime, though, we will continue learning about Chizkiyahu's reign, both during and following the time period of this miraculous salvation, in the next parak, Parak Chaf, chapter 20. This year is dedicated by Michelle Levine and Susan Schuster and their families in memory of their beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Rebbetzin Gloria Leff, Golda Tzivia Bat Baruch. Rebbetzin Leff was a highly regarded principal and Torah teacher, a master educator, whose deep love for teaching Tanakh inspired hundreds of students throughout her lifetime.